God, we thank you for your grace towards us, and you have brought us through a long journey to get to today, and none of us are here by accident. And I ask, Lord, your wisdom and the Holy Spirit to be with us as he dwells within us. Help him to open our hearts and minds as we bring all of this together. We just thank you for all you have shown us. In Jesus' name. Now, to set the stage today, I'm going to rehearse a little bit where we've been. We're bringing everything. We've been involved in a journey for the past few months. We have, and in the outlines you've had over the last few months that you can still get from Doreen if you would like them, we have looked at every single verse in the Old Testament law. We've looked at every single verse in the New Testament related to the gospel and money and possessions, just to see what it says. We looked at every verse, and we drew some conclusions from those verses. We looked at those conclusions a couple of weeks ago, and then last week, we put all those conclusions together and began to say, what did we learn? How do we apply this? How does this become real to us? This is what the Bible says. And we looked at everything the Bible says, because we don't want to be manipulated, by anybody, because there's no manipulation by guilt. This is all part and parcel with who we are as a church and as Christians. So what did the Bible say? We looked at all of those things. We came to all of those things, came to some conclusions about God and the character of God, about Jesus, about the church, about us, and our responsibilities. And then last week, we looked at the first five life action principles. And they were preparation principles. So if we're going to take all of this and put it together, that means a number of things. It means we have to be submitted to Jesus Christ. It all starts there. If you're not a believer and you're not committed or submitted to Jesus Christ and have surrendered to him, none of this is going to make sense. And you can tell if it doesn't make sense is it as when we go through these five things. I'm going to give you a little hint. As we go through these five things, and you sit there and you start getting, sort of the hair on the back of your neck stands up and your back starts getting stiff and you're going, oh, yeah, nobody's going to, You start getting that? Okay? Let's go back to being submitted to Jesus Christ. You have to start there. Okay? You have to be submitted to Christ. This is what he said. And I'm saying that because I'm not going to tell you what to do. I'm going to provide you some tools. That's it. It's going to get very real. First thing, submitted to Jesus Christ. You have to be submitted to him. You have to be committed to the church. Those two things go hand in hand. You cannot be submitted to Jesus Christ and not be committed to his church. And by his church, I mean a local congregation. In the New Testament, with maybe one exception, the church was a local congregation, always. So you submit to Jesus Christ, that means you're committed to a church. We also learned that once you're those things, that you are to work wisely. You're to work hard. That God has given you the gift to be able to work, and you can work and gain wealth and do all kinds of great things. He's given you, he wants to provide for you. But the best way and the main way he provides for you is through your labor. We talked about the principles of work that we saw. And then we talked about that idea that we do that, we were also supposed to live simply. We're to evaluate our lives, look at our lives, look at our culture, differentiate the difference between need and want. Shield ourselves from the pressures of the culture who take the things that they want you to want because they want you to buy it and try to convince you that you need it. We talked about that. And then the last principle we talked about last week was the principle of the sacrificial heart, giving sacrificially, what that means. Those five principles are preparation principles. That you start there, you get your heart right with God, because everything we're talking about is a heart issue. If your heart isn't right with the Lord, you're not going to be committed to his church. You're not going to be, working. You're trying to find shortcuts, a way to get things for nothing. You're not going to be living simply. You're going to be buying into the culture and thinking you need all this stuff when you don't. And you're definitely not going to be giving sacrificially and have a sacrificial heart. All of those are heart things. Okay? Today, we get into the last six principles. And this is where it gets real. This is where the rubber hits the road. This is where we take what we've learned and say, what does this mean? How does this affect us? What is the scripture telling us? What principles are there? So we submit to Jesus, we commit to the church, we work hard and work wisely, we live simply, and we develop a sacrificial heart. All of that is a reflection of the person of Jesus Christ. It is all a reflection of Christ's likeness. It is all a reflection of the Holy Spirit living inside of us. This is where God wants us to be. Now, we have a tendency as a culture, even within, particularly in the American culture, within the church, to bring Christ's likeness into everything into our lives, except for our checkbooks and our wallet. You know, we're going to do what we want to do with that, but we're not going to do this. Okay? So, but we've seen all these scriptures. We see how important it is. So what does this mean for us? If we have the right heart, if we get our heart right, we're submitted to Christ, we're committed to the church, we're working wisely and we're living simply, and we want to have a sacrificial heart, how does that come out? It is a matter of honoring God. Honor is something that you have, but every person of honor I've ever known lived honorably, did honorable things. If it's just something you think you have but it doesn't come out in your life, you have something, but it is an honor. Honor has to come out. So how do we take and honor God with this? Well, the next five principles are where the reality is. And the first one is that dreaded T word. Okay? Tithing. Now, I know. Every time we talk about this, somebody will say, but Pastor, the New Testament... But Pastor, the New Testament doesn't tell us to tithe. You're absolutely right. There is absolutely no command in the New Testament that tells us to tithe. Because every single example in the New Testament goes beyond that. Every single one. Grace giving in the New Testament involves greater sacrifice. The tithe was the Old Testament standard. The tithe was the Old Testament law. The tithe was what you absolutely had to do. In the New Testament, based on grace. It's based on going beyond what that Old Testament law was. And it's a great guideline. It's sort of a guideline. It sort of gives us, here's a place to start. It's sort of this idea that when it comes to, we're submitted to Christ, committed to the church, we're working, we're living simply, and we want to be sacrificial, here's the floor. This is where you start. Kind of an idea. In the New Testament, that's why there's never a command to do it in the New Testament. Because God has this wonderful way of dealing with us. It's sort of like in the relationship between men and women. You notice that? He commands the woman to respect her husband. He doesn't command her to love her husband because she loves naturally. She knows what love is. So love just naturally flows from her. Respect has to be commanded. He commands the man to love his wife because that's not natural to him. He respects. He associates respect and honor with love, and he sees it differently. And they see it differently. Same concept. They both have both needs. But he commands the man to do what doesn't come naturally. He commands her to do what doesn't come naturally so that they can meet each other's needs and be whole and complete. By the time he gets to the New Testament, he never says, you need to tithe. He didn't have to in the New Testament. Those people were way past. They were way past that. That was sort of the floor. That's where we start. And then we expand from there. We expand from there. And that's where it goes. It's not a command. It's not a command. You would think, well, why didn't God command us to do that? Because I want you to think of the verse that Kathy read. I didn't know she was going to read that. Because of love. Love is patient, love is kind. Go through all of that. Remember that part of that passage that says, when I was a child, I used to think like a child and then act like a child. But now that I have become a man, I put away childish things. Okay? If you think that you're going to have to tithe because you have to tithe and that's the rule, grow up. It's time to act on the basis of love. Love did. Sacrificial heart. Jesus and Christ. So tithing is not going to. It's just the starting place. And You know, and it goes from there. Because it honors the biblical principle of the Old Testament. It's all there. Jesus endorsed it. It reinforces the truth. Remember all those passages that God owns this? We're just stewards. We don't do this. We're just telling God off.
Oh, God, this isn't yours. This is mine.
God doesn't react well to that ever. It reminds us of our responsibility and stewardship responsibility. It helps us in the battle against materialism. And it aids us in our efforts against greed. All of that is there. And it truly opens the door for God's blessing. Now, how many of you notice this stuff up here? Because there's normally nothing here. When I say this is going to get real, I want it to be real. So when you're done today, come up and grab one of these. You're sitting there going, man, I'm thinking of my finances. I am really tithing. Really, I don't know, I'm not sure. How, you know, I need to sort of get that way. Because tithing does that to people. It just freaks them out. You know? If it freaks you out, let me give you some help. This passage, it's called the Acts Commitment Covenant. I'm going to put this in that term. Old Covenant, New Testament, old Covenant, New Covenant, Old Testament, New Testament, Old Covenant. This is the law. This is what you're going to do. New Covenant, this is love. This is what you do out of love. So here's your covenant. And you take this home. I don't want this. But it gives you some guidelines. It says, you can check. I'm a beginning tither. Or I'm an experienced tither. Or you can check. I'm committing to give God something. Do that. But it deals with two subjects. One I'm going to talk about a little later. First step is the subject of prayer. I'll give you a schedule. Right here. You're afraid to jump in with both feet? Okay. You can start off at the end of November. I will increase my giving to 2%. And then in December to 3%. By the time you get to May of next year, guess what you're doing? Because tithing opens the door of God's blessing. I'm going to keep this in the context. Tithing is what opens the door. Tithing is what really says, God, you're serious. You know what tithing says? I'm a grown-up. I'm no longer a child. I walked through our preschool because the bathrooms were back there. So I get to walk through the preschool, you know, several times a day. And the kids are great. The teachers are great. But you know what the biggest problem between these little kids are? They're socializing. We are one generation away from barbarism, right? You know, and you have to socialize the little barbarians, right? And so what's the biggest problem in socializing the little barbarians? Mine, mine, mine. Teaching them to share. Teaching them to care. See? So when we talk about this stuff, this isn't being a grown-up with God. This isn't being a grown-up with God. This is where you stand. So it gives you some instruction on that. And it helps. And do that. So I'm going to leave that right there. You take, get the material and take it. And I'll have something else for you at the end of the service that will help a little bit. But right now, just start thinking that over. Just, you know, where am I in this? Do I even think about what I give? Do I just give a little bit of what's left over? We're going to talk about that. Okay? About giving God leftovers. I know how it is in my house. Every once in a while, what are we having for dinner? Oh, we're having leftovers. Somehow it just ends up being Kathy and I. Everybody else disappears. You know, the boys just, oh, okay, I'm going to be gone. I'm hanging out, you know. Hey, you got to be honest. Here it is. It's an issue of love. First principle. Second principle, help constructively. Help constructively. Because you start with the church. It's church and unity. Submitted to Jesus, committed to the church. There it is. There it is. Right there. That's where you start. Submitted to Jesus, committed to the church. So you start off right there. The floor of doing this, the floor of this generous heart, the floor of all of this is when we're tithing, supporting the church. That's the floor. That's where we start. But beyond that, we're supposed to help generously. We're supposed to reach out and help people. The world looks at this differently. A great saint in the past, Augustine, wrote this. This was pretty drastic, even for his age. The bread which you keep belongs. The bread which you, he's talking about Hebrews before. He says, the bread which you keep belongs to the hungry. The coat that you preserve in your wardrobe to the naked. those shoes which you are rotting in your possession to the shoeless, the gold which you have hidden in the ground to the needy. Wherefore, as often as you were able to help others and refuse, so often did you do them wrong. That's the Christian perspective. Now, Ralph Waldo Emerson represents the world's perspective. He said, "Do not tell me, as a good man did today, of my obligation to put all poor men in a good situation. Are they my poor?" That's the world's situation. Ignore them. Don't see them. God says something different, because helping people is the mark of the church. When the church was undergoing persecution, in fact, Julian was a Roman Caesar who persecuted the church. But this is what he said. Those impious Galileans, they were impious because they wouldn't worship him. They only worship Jesus. Those impious Galileans support not only their own poor, but ours as well. Everyone can see that our people lack from us. He was attacking and killing the Christians, but he's not getting any support for it because the Christians would help everybody. In that period of time in the early church, Tertullian said, "It is our care of the helpless, our practice of loving kindness that brands us in the eyes of many of our opponents. Only look," they say, "look how they love one another." We're to help each other. We're to be focused and wise and rational and to do it. And I put all of those things sort of in the outline so we can see those things. And we're to realize that we help people in different ways. And we're to avoid excuses. Okay? You know, I'm not doing anything to help the poor. But to hurt the poor, yeah, but God asked you to be proactive. It's not a matter of not hurting people. It's a matter of helping people. You know, I'm just one person. What can I do? You know, that's the logic of, I can't do everything, so I'm not going to do anything. That's a lie straight from the pits of hell. You'll be amazed what you can do. Okay? And I want this to be real, so I put some things down here to help you understand this. I don't know what your resources are. I don't know where you are in tithing. And that's, you know, I don't know. But I need you to understand that when you start getting right with God and you start growing up in Him, you're going to start off with this commission to the church and the tithing. And then you're going to start helping people. And you may not have a lot of resources to help people. I'm going to talk about how to get resources to help people. There's a way to do that. Just where our resources are going. But I put up here some ways to help people. If you want to help people on a monthly basis and do something, then you do something like our Living Proof program with the Hippo Valley Christian Mission. Adopt a child. You can do it to them through Samaritan's First. You can adopt a child through Compassion International. $20, $30 a month, you change the life of a child, you change the life of a family, and usually you change the life of a village, because when they bring education to that child, everybody in that village benefits from it. When they bring to make sure that that child has pure water, everybody in the village. You change the course of a village of people by supporting that child. Well, maybe you can't do that. Maybe your resources are all tied up, and you can. You have a little bit you could do one time. Okay? That's a form of the Hippo Project. Okay? Not giving a handout, you're giving a handout. For $10, you can help supply a goat or a pig to a family. A goat will, and a pig will feed them. A goat will give them income. A cow will give them income. And you can participate in that. You can do a one-time thing and change the life of the family. Help them get on their feet. And not like get on their feet, stay on their feet. One time. Maybe that's all you got. We're doing Samaritans First. It's sort of down there. But Samaritans First, we're going to be collecting and filling our Samaritans First box with sending Christmas presents to kids around the world, introducing kids around the world of all nations, even Muslim nations, even Muslim countries that are welcoming Samaritans First to come in, give them their Christmas gifts, even though that has a gospel message in it. These are things you can do. There's things you can do. Make it real. Remember Star Trek, Next Generation, Captain Picard?
Make it so.
That's what it's about. See, we have to be committed to the church. We have to be supporting the church, and that's the place to start. And we need to make sure we get on the same level, because if we're all tithing, we're all on the same level. Everybody's doing the same thing. That's good. God has given us everything we need if we do that. If we don't do that, the church is in want, and those who aren't doing it, they're in. basic principle. Now, along with giving, helping, you know, God wants you to be saving. God wants you to save. He wants you to save humbly. And there are good reasons to save, to prepare for future expenditures, to provide for, you know, the unexpected and expected things. You know, why do you save? To provide for the future. You save. You know? Now, there's good reasons to save. There are bad reasons to save. Greed, fear, worry, pride. Those are bad reasons to save. There's good reasons and bad reasons. As in everything else, it's not sometimes what we do, it's why. We want to be sure we get that. So we need to find a way to practice saving that trusts God, that doesn't replace Him. On the same sheet, it gives you a step-by-step building your tithing. Same schedule. Start with 1 or 2% of your income and put it in a savings account somewhere. And then the next month, bump it up. Until you're giving 10% to the church, saving 10%. That's very God. It's a very powerful thing to do. And that helps prepare you for the future. God's not against that. Is He against hoarding? Yes. Is He? But He does tell us all through the Scripture, the Old Testament, and the Proverbs, to be prepared. The wise man is prepared. The wise man puts away, takes care of things, takes care of business, can learn how to do it. Start out simply and build on it. That's the idea. There's something about that I'm gonna bring to it to the table in a minute. Because the next thing is to borrow sparingly. If you're not in debt, avoid it. It causes worry. It changes your reality. It leads to dishonesty and addiction. It robs God. Remember, I was talking about having the resources to help? Because the bottom line of debt is, you're in debt, pay it. Now, you don't need to raise your hand. I don't want to know. I know that the average credit card indebtedness in the Santa Cruz Valley ranges between $65,000 to $85,000 a household. That's not cars, that's not mortgage, that's credit card debt. Okay? And I can tell you, I've had people say, Pastor, I would love to tithe. I just don't have anything left. I'm just so stretched out. Why are you stretched out? Well, they've got 5 credit cards, 10 credit cards, they're all to the max. They're barely making the minimum payment of all of that. But let me tell you something. You and I, we have the resources to change the world, to change the lives of people around the world. But you know what we've done? We've not trusted God. Because you use credit cards, doesn't mean what you think you want or you need. You're not waiting for God to provide. You're just taking care of it yourself. And if you're making a credit card payment, a minimum payment of $50 a month on a, I don't know what the percentage is to say on a $5,000 debt, it's going to take you 32 to 35 years to pay that off. Okay? Now think about that. 32 to 35 years to pay off a credit card debt. So if you have 5 credit cards, 10 credit cards, and you're paying off all this credit card debt, it's going to take you, there's no way you can get ahead. You're just constantly behind. And what we fall into the trap of doing is the moment we get it paid down a little bit, we, you know, Christmas comes. It's amazing how much credit we use for Christmas time. We actually borrow money on a credit card to give somebody a gift that we don't even own. Okay? Now, I'm not saying that to knock anybody. I don't really care. You know, that's between you. But how would you like to free up those resources? Because if you're in that position where you're sitting there going, Pastor, this makes sense. I'd love to be able to tithe. I'd love to be able to help people. But I'm so wrapped up in this. I'm so underwater in it and upside down in it. And today, I'm not going to get one of these. Okay? I'm not going to get one of these. I kid you not. You do this. In a relatively short period of time, possibly even within a couple of years, the only thing you'll owe is your mortgage. Okay? Now, my personal nickname for this, I call it the snowball debt eradicator. I picked it because it's sort of hard to say. Say that with me. Snowball debt eradicator. Let me tell you how it works. Scripture says if you have debt, pay it. And if you have debt and you're paying all this stuff, that money you're paying on that debt, all that interest you're paying that company for 35 years are the resources God has given you to change the world. So how do you get out of debt? Here it is. Step one. Do an evaluation of your life. Start finding things you can money that you can use. Okay? If you stop by Starbucks every day, get your, knock that little latte. Cut 2 days out. It's $10 a week. $40 a day. You can do the same thing if you stop going to Starbucks and start driving through McDonald's and getting their latte. You'll get $10 a month, $10 a week, $40 a month. Just $40 a month right there. You know what I mean? Start looking for those little things. If you have, you're making car payments, you've got an extra car, and it's not being used, sell it. And there's all kinds of things you can do. Start evaluating your life. Find those things that you do regularly that you can change or cut out. And say you do a couple or three things, and you manage to find in the course of all of this that if you stop doing this and stop doing this, and usually just basically, like Starbucks coffee, that's not a need. Okay? Not a need, is it? And so you make a few changes like that, and you come up with your value. And I list out a whole bunch of several different things on here that you can look at, just to plant seeds, just to get you looking. So you come up with $100. Okay, if I do this, this, and this, there's $100 right there that I'm spending every month. But if I don't spend that money because it's just, coffee I'm going to drink or whatever, I can then use, that becomes your snowball debt eradicator. That's your first step. Create that. Create that amount, whatever it is. Stop doing, evaluate what you're doing. Find a way. There's all kinds of ways. You can cut things out, change things, but you can come up with an amount. Okay? Then you do that. Step two is list all your debts. It is amazing how many people have never sat down and listed out all of their debt, listed out all their credit cards, all their loans, and their car payments and their mortgage. Have never listed those things out. That scares me to death. If you haven't listed it, you don't know. If you haven't written it down, you don't know. You may think you know, but you can't keep track of all that up here. Write it all down. Now, when you do that, in column one,
Visa,
in column two, the balance, in column three, the payment, the minimum payment. So that's step two. Step three is now prioritize them. Once you get them listed out, you've listed out Visa, MasterCard, Discover, Ally, all the credit cards, and you've got maybe you got a couple of furniture loans, and then you got a little medical bills there, and maybe you got some car payments, and then at the bottom your mortgage, and they'll get those all listed out. You've got them on paper. Now go through and prioritize them. Find the one with the smallest balance. Put a number one by that one. The next smallest balance, number two. The next smallest balance, number three. Just go through that process. And you're going to find, the mortgage is the last one, right? The biggest one. Car payments, mortgage, car payments, loan payments, credit card payments. You're going to find it out. So now you've got this prioritized. Step four, jump in. Take that $100. Take that $100 and add it to your smallest balance due. Okay? So instead of making a $50 payment, you're going to make a $150 payment. Which means in that $50 payment, $5 or $10 is going to go towards your principal. The rest is just their pure profit for 35 years. That's why they want you in debt. You give them $150, and now $110 or $20 is coming off the principal. Everything over that minimum payment comes off the principal. And say you have a $1,000 debt, and you give them $150 a month, 7 months, somewhere down there, that's paid off. You're giving them $150. 7 months is paid off. Now you take that $150, and you go to number two. And you go to number two, and say that minimum payment is $60, or that balance maybe still a payment of $50, but it has a higher balance. You add that $150 to that payment. Now you're giving those people $200. And $150 or $160 or $170 is going to principal. What you find, you see the snowball effect? It won't take 7 months to pay them off. It will take 4 or 5 months to pay them off, depending on those balances. If you have big balances, it's going to take a little while. I realize that. You just keep rolling that over. One guy did this. Just an example. And this was a few years ago, so the amounts are a little unrealistic for us today. Okay? But he did this. He created a debt eradicator amount. He cut a bunch of stuff out of his and sold an extra car that he was making a payment on. He came up with $300. $300. And he had balances that were a little, you know, $1,000, $1,200 and all this stuff. And, but he took that $300 and added it to his medical bills, paid it off in 2 months. In 5 years, he paid off his mortgage. You can go all the way with it. You do this, I promise you, you can do 5-7 years. You can own it all outright. Now, big important key. Cut the stinking credit cards up. This doesn't work if you decide, okay, I paid this one off, so I have this available, and I'm going to go see Aunt Mary in Minnesota. No, wrong answer. Okay? You got to work things differently. You have to work things differently. But you begin to see how it comes together. You're tithing, you're opening the door for God to bless you. If you're saving, you're building for those unexpected things, and you'll have money and cash if you need to go on a trip or something. You can save for that. Now you're paying these things off. And when you get this paid off, say you do this, and you get everything, all your credit cards paid up. Now you just have your car payment and your mortgage. And you say, okay, I don't want to go any further than that. I realize I'm going to live with a car payment all the rest of my life, live with a mortgage most of my life. I can accept that. But now you've freed up. You paid that last little loan off. And you find that you were paying that last little loan off by giving them $500 a month because you've snowballed. Guess what? You have just resourced. Giving yourself the resources. You haven't really changed your lifestyle, except for maybe cutting off a little bit here, a little bit there at the very beginning. By the time you do this, you're used to it. Now you have a new lifestyle that's a little simpler. Remember that second principle, living simply? You've got a little simpler lifestyle, and now you've been paying your draft guy $500 a month. Now you have $500 a month. Come up to the table. What can $500 a month do? See the potential? God is giving his church resources to change the world. What we've done is squandered. It's a matter of taking control of our lives. That's what God wants. He wants us to have control of our lives. Because once we do that, now we're going to be investing in eternity. Now we're going to be investing in eternity. It's not that he doesn't want you to care, but he wants you to think eternal. If you start doing this, you're making an eternal investment that's going to get an eternal reward. And believe it or not, it can also help you. Remember I talked about saving? Start at 1% or 2%, add a little percent, so you're saving 10%. So what do you do with that savings? You take it to the bank, right? Open a savings account at the bank. Start putting money in the bank. What is the current rate of return for a savings account at the bank? 1.5%, okay? Okay? And if you save enough, you can put it in a 401 or mutual funds. You know, if you have that kind of money, you can do all of that, which is good. They get a little higher rate of return. You know, the issue with that is, so you have a good account in a mutual fund, a retirement account in a mutual fund. So you're saving, and you get a little bit extra money so that you can retire. That's really good. But the mutual fund company is funding the building and opening of bars, liquor stores, any kind of business that comes to them for a loan, they think they can get a return on. You're literally funding stuff that's basically evil. It's going to have a negative effect. How do you change that? I'm not going to tell you what to do, but I can tell you this. There are organizations out there. I'm going to name two, just because they're the ones that I know off the top of my head. There's a myriad of them. But you know that even if you just change from a bank to a credit union, you're going to get a little bit more return. If you change from a credit union to an organization like CDF, the North County Church Development Fund, or the Solomon Foundation, based on the Christian organization based on Utah and Utah, there. Number one, you're going to get another percentage rate or two on your return, just in savings, on your return on other stuff. And all the money that they use, they get on their assets, on investing, building, churches. And suddenly, you're getting a higher return rate on your money, doing exactly what God told you to do, and you're investing for eternity, and now you're making, even the stuff that's coming back to you, you're making an eternal difference. Do we get this? Now, it's something that is very, very simple. But like a wise man once said, the most important things in life are simple things. But the simple things are hard. Now, I realize, Jeff, as you're with us today, you're getting the last of a long series of things. And I hope it's not blowing you away too much. Because we have looked at every single verse in the New Testament to get here. I didn't want to do a stewardship thing and manipulate people into doing something. We want to be real. Here it is. Put away the things of the title. What are the actions like? Submit to Jesus Christ. When you're submitted to Jesus Christ, you're committed to His church. Notice how that reflects what we do. We give generously and we tithe. We start off, we get on the same. We build up to that. We're on the floor. We're not in the basement. Get on the floor of tithing. You're not in the basement. Work yourself up to it if you need to, but get there. Once you're there, then you begin to look at, how can I help? What can I do? What can I do right now? Even if most of my resources are tied up in paying off debt, there's still a little bit I can do right now. Buy somebody a cow. Do something. Support a child. Give money to the Gideons. You guys went on a distribution in San Diego. Was it San Diego? In Anaheim. 2 days, 3 days in Anaheim. 65,000 copies of the Word of God were distributed. You don't think that's going to change lives? Investing in eternity? There's things you can do right now. Help. Deal with your debt. Free up the resources. Get started on a program. Learn what a budget is. If you don't do it, figure out a system. Kathy and I figured out a system. It took us years, and we went up and down, and we had problems and issues, and she came up with a system that she had used before, and we do it, and with a little altered form of it, but we do it to this day. Okay? She gets paid, I get paid, some of that money goes in the bank. If it goes in the bank, it pays bills. It pays the bills, you write a check and send the monthly bills to the mortgage, and stuff like that. The rest, we take as cash. That's food, that's tithe, that's miscellaneous, it's gas. When the cash is gone, you stay home. When the cash is gone, you don't use a credit card to go to the movies. In fact, we only have one. Get rid of all of them. You get on a cash basis. If it goes in the bank, it pays bills. If it doesn't go in the bank and it's cash, that's what you have to spend. If you get paid weekly, you time it out so it lasts a week. If you get paid every other week, you time it out for 2 weeks. If you get paid monthly, I'll pray for you. That's hard, man. I've been there where you get paid once a month. I'll tell you, man, about that third week, I mean, you're talking mac and cheese and bologna sandwiches. Okay, that's the way it is. You learn to live within it. Find a way to do it. See, all of this isn't for me to tell you what to do. You're you. You're going to do this or not do this. It's between you and God. But after all that we studied, every single verse, God owns it. Do is supposed to be generous, support the church, and it's supposed to help people. It is the core of who we are. And we can't if our resources are all tied up in debt. We can't if we haven't even gotten on the floor yet. We can't if we're rebelling against it, if we're fighting against it, because it wouldn't even put anybody to really tell us what to do with our money. We have a rebellious spirit in us. So when you have that kind of issue, always go back. Principle number one, submit to Christ. You want to be Christ-like. You want to be like Him. That's the only thing this is. That's the only thing this is. How to be like Christ. How to bring Christ into how you live every day. How to bring Christ into how you handle your money. How to bring Christ into how you can help people change the world. There it is. My sentence. On a kingdom. A little bit of it. Does it get the idea? All this is? You know, in my house, it's a little crazy because of this. Two boxes, two bags. When I need a tool, I go out to the garage and figure out where I can put it. Last time he used it, and find my tool. And I have a lot of tools. You know, I usually can find a tool to do whatever job it needs to be done. If I need a hammer, there's always good heavy wrenches. There's always something. You find a tool. Get the right tool, you can do the job. And what this is? Just tools. Now, it has to get real. It really does. We're not real here. I want to help you. Come up and take one of these things, the commitment covenant. This one also has the Decalogue, which means like Ten Commandments. The Decalogue of getting out of debt. And think about that, just based on biblical principles. All of that is fine. I want to give you one of these. We can get a couple of guys to come pass these out. I want to tell you right now, I don't want these back. Okay? Can get very manipulative, and churches do. This is not for you to give back to me. This is for you, between you and God. This is what it says. This is the First Christian Church Tithe Commitment Reminder Card. As the Lord enables, and with a cheerful heart, we commit to support the work of the First Christian Church through the giving of the Lord's tithe from December 2014 through November 2015 as follows. Place the mark a weekly gift or monthly gift. So this covenant is between you and the Lord who gives his life for you. Place it in your Bible, or maybe a more apt place would be your checkbook, as a reminder. And sign it. It is a covenant. We live in covenant relationship with the Lord. We have a tendency, when you write something, I read this earlier, this quote, is that when you take a pen in hand, and you write something down, that is almost as totally focused as you'll ever be in your life. You cannot handwrite something out with a pen in your hand, handwrite an idea out, and be thinking of something else. Total focus. So write it out. Start at the beginning. Write out a budget. Write down everything you owe. Do all that. Put all that together. If you need help with that, hey, we've got people here who can help you with that. We've got people who do that really well. They can help you with it. Some people are just gifted in that area. If you need help, that's fine. We can do that. But write it down. Covenant card like this, don't just put it in your Bible. Don't just put it in your checkbook. Sign it and date it. Make a decision. Maybe that's your goal. Evaluate what you are. Am I doing the least that I think I need to do? Am I doing just what's left over? Or am I committed to this? And I'm actually going to commit to God. I'm going to submit to him and commit to do this. Because I know if I do this, I'll be able to do that. Connection. Connect the dots. If you do that, submission to Christ, committed to the church, he's going to open the resources to do all the rest of it. Paying off the debt, whatever. To the right thing. That's why, and I'll be honest, in 40 years of ministry, I have not spent a lot of time talking about money. I've been here 30 years. You ever heard this? You ever heard me go into any of this stuff? You ever heard me do stewardship stuff to get people to give more? I don't believe in that. This is what I believe, right here. This is what the Bible says. Here's where it comes out. You know, be honest growing up before God, here it is. You want to play games, be a child? Your choice. Dangerous territory. You want to free up resources so you can change the world for people and introduce Jesus to people? It may take a while, it may take you several years. You have to get out of debt. Right there. This takes discipline. This takes commitment. It takes submitting to the Lord, submitting to the church. Do nothing. You can do totally different than everybody else. You can't. You can't be free. It's up to you. It's up to you. Be simple. I've shared this before. Kathleen and I have a debit card. I don't carry it in my wallet. She doesn't carry it in her wallet. Her debit card is actually in our checkbook. Because when we have to do a debit card thing, we don't use credit. We do a debit card purchase. We pull out the debit card, hand it to them, they hand us a receipt right there. I don't care how long the line is. I open the checkbook, I write it out. This date is where it is, is how much it was. You know how many people say, what are you doing? Write it down. You write it down? I say, you don't? How do you know what's in there? Well, I call the bank. I always say, well, are you having difficulty? You strap? Yeah. Write it down. It's, remember simple? Remember live simply? Keep it simple. Don't make it complex. None of this is complex. It's pretty straightforward and simple stuff. None of this stuff I created. Smarter people than me. Right? This isn't any of this come out of me. But the stuff that works. Be free. Change the world for God. That's not here. It'll change your world. And you'll find yourself the more you free up resources to use for God, the more God will give you. The more resources he'll pull into your lap to use for him. He wants you to be a conduit that fills his blessings. That's what we're the church for. Read in the book of Acts what they did. It is the month of Thanksgiving. Starting next week, I'm going to talk about Easter. No. We're going to talk about Thanksgiving. And be grateful. I love Thanksgiving. It's the greatest time because it takes all the focus off us and gets on God. I'm done talking about this. It's been months. We've been here months. It takes a long time to go through all those verses. And you have those outlines. If you don't have those outlines, see Doreen back there? We'll print them off. We'll give you all the outlines. You have all the verses. Every single verse is there in the outline. This is what God, this is the conclusion we get from reading this book. Think of the heart. Because in the end, you're the one. You're the one. You're the one that God is going to use. You're the one. It gets the grace. Father, we thank you. It's been a long journey. Testament and every single one in the New Testament related to yourself. Everything Jesus said, everything the apostles said, everything they wrote. We realize how important it is. We realize that 75% of the scripture deals with this kind of stuff. Because God knows how much we fight against it. So we ask you, Lord, first of all, if we're in relationship with you, we're Christians, forgive us for messing this up. Forgive us for losing control of our lives. Getting more dependent upon ourselves and credit than upon you. Give us wisdom. Begin to pick and choose. Begin to take some action. Whether it's the simplicity of finding and starting a budget, whether it's starting the process of learning to tithe and learning to save, or whether it's going the whole route and figuring out a way to get out of debt so we can have resources to serve. You've given us those resources. We just have to free them. Free up the resources, we free up ourselves. And you have created us to be free. So, Father, we will help us. God, just give us wisdom and direction. And then after this, Father, it's so appropriate that we go into the rest of this month just giving you praise and giving you thanks for all that you've done for us in Christ. Because it is an outflow of grace. You are the first grace giver. And you gave us grace.